The Holy Spirit. And I am in a series of messages in regards to the book of Revelation end times. Now, I'm not going to be all up in the book of Revelation, but all of what I say will be tied up into what we are called the end times. There's a scripture that came to me that I'm not going to have up on the PowerPoint here, but it's out of Daniel 11:27. You could just write that down. In Daniel 11:27, it says this. It says, both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. Now, the Bible is very clear how God, the word says that God sits in the heaven and he laughs at the plans of evil people. And here in the book of Daniel, which is a prophetic book, it speaks about the end times, our time. It speaks about in the days of the Antichrist, where two great kings will sit at a table and they will have plans that will appear to be friendly with each other, but they are planning evil towards each other. And this is what you clearly see happening today. The king of China, the king of America, the king of Russia, the king of Ukraine. You see these things. For those of you who do not know this, the war drums are beating once again in the world. And we are so close to another world war like never before. Now, I do not fear that because, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We understand that as Christians, we know the outcome of all of these things. So the purpose of me telling you this is not to scare you, or it is not to bring any kind of intimidation. No, that is not what the gospel of Christ does. But the Bible is to warn us of the things to come, that we would be prepared. Jesus called a certain people hypocrites because they could not understand the signs of the end times. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, you hypocrites, you understand that it's going to be a hot day because the wind blows from this direction, but you do not understand the signs of the times. Meaning, here is the Messiah speaking right to these people, and they did not even understand that he was even the Messiah. And so the book of Revelation chapter 1 says that blessed is those who heed the prophecies of this book. When you understand end time scripture, Revelation 1 clearly says you're blessed. So to understand end time scripture is to have a blessing. Now I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, because the word does say in the book of Revelation 2 and 3, when Jesus is speaking to the churches in the seven letters to the seven churches, Jesus ends each letter with saying, blessed is he. He says, let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Holy Spirit speaks to you today, Christian. Why? Because God is a faithful Father. A faithful Father always speaks to his children. You may have had earthly fathers that may ignore you, may not pay attention to you, but your Father in heaven, Christian, speaks to you every day. We may not hear him because we may not be paying attention or looking for his voice, but to those who call on the name of Jesus, your Father in heaven speaks to you daily. And the Holy Spirit has been speaking to so many of his people and throughout history, the church age, even now more than ever before. Now, I believe that there is revival once again sweeping the earth with the people of God because of what is about to come upon the face of this earth. Now, in my heart, what the Lord put on my heart is that in this year, at the beginning of this year in December, the Lord told me in December that, and I shared it with some of the people here, that this world will see this year unspeakable tragedy like never before. And I know that before things like this happen, God always moves in the churches. Because when people are afraid and fearful, they're going to have somewhere to go to. And the churches are going to be prepared for this. The people of God have to be prepared. You see, Christian, because your walk, it's not about you. It's about others. Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served. And so much of the church in America needs to get out of this mindset of it's about us, it's about our walk. No, it's about others. We are called to be building blocks, not stumbling blocks. Now, only way we're going to understand this and get to this is that we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit has been abused in the American church for so many years. There's so many misunderstandings of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was raised a Roman Catholic. I got saved in an Assemblies of God church, and I went to a Baptist seminary. So I'm able to understand a little bit of, you know what? The Bible is where we need to go. The Bible is where we need to draw knowledge from, and knowledge gives birth to wisdom. Now, I want to speak to you out of John 7, 37 through 39. At a point in Jesus' ministry, let's go on a little quick journey with the scriptures. I want to take you somewhere to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his role, and where he plays a role today. This is God, the Holy Spirit. His ministry is active on the earth today. And those who have a heart for Jesus, they hear, and they're led by the Spirit of God. They hear his voice. In Revelation, the Holy Spirit, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. It says, on the last day, that the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. At this point in history, the Holy Spirit had not been given yet to any believer, because Jesus had to go to the cross first. He had to die and to be raised from the dead. Do you remember on the cross when Jesus died? The Bible says that at the moment he died, that in Jerusalem at the temple in the Holy of Holies, that the curtain tore from the top to the bottom. There was a great earthquake, and out came the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, that is. And it was now in the hearts of all believers. It was going into the hearts of all believers, not at that moment, but it was going out into the hearts of all believers. And until then, only Israel could experience the presence of God in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. Only until then. But now Jesus was saying, he's coming. If you're thirsty, come to me. You're going to have living water. The Spirit's going to come to you. It's going to be in you soon, believer. Look, in Acts 1:8, Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He's about to go up into heaven. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now understand this. These were disciples. They had seen the resurrected Savior, but yet they were told to go to Jerusalem in the upper room and to wait for the coming of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not to go out and preach the gospel just yet. Though they had been given the commission to go and preach the gospel, they were not allowed to go out and preach until the Holy Spirit came. Why? What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? To empower the Christian to be a witness. Apart from the baptism, the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a witness for Christ, because you cannot do this in your own strength. Now understand, Peter was a disciple. For 3.5 years, Peter followed Jesus, but yet he denied Christ 3 times. Why? Because he did not have the Holy Spirit in him. And even then, today, with the Holy Spirit in us, we can still fail Christ. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, was soon to be revealed. Jesus told them that you will receive power when he comes upon you, because he had not been upon them just yet. Do you see this? There's a lot of people in the church today that love Jesus, that follow Jesus, but they are not daily filled with the power of Jesus. That's why they're lukewarm. That's why they live in a habitual lifestyle of sin. And that is a very dangerous place to be. Now, John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus is continuing to tell them before he goes to the cross. He tells them this, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, says Jesus, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, watch, and he will be with you. He will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, he was not in them yet, but he will one day be in them. At the time, Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. So Jesus is giving these men instructions, which would fall to the entire church age as well. John 14, 26, Jesus continues to say about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When I come up here and preach as just a human being, as someone who confesses Christ as Lord and Savior, I do not do this in my own strength. I'm doing this under the power of the Holy Spirit. We live, Christians, under the power of the Holy Spirit at all times. He will bring things to our remembrance. He will teach us. He will lead us. He will direct us. He will empower us to push back the gates of hell over every trial and every tribulation. Don't think that I'm speaking this in my own power. I'm not an eloquent speaker. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, he gets the glory and Jesus is glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So much of the church does not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why for so long we have seen the quenching of the Holy Spirit in our churches. Because the Holy Spirit is so sensitive to this. He can back off and say, the Father will deal with you. Because God disciplines those whom he loves. To whom much is given, much is required. And if we're not faithful with this Holy Spirit that we have within us, church, then we can experience a dryness. We can experience a casualness, a lukewarmness. And this is, much of the church is coming out of this, I believe. I hope, I pray. For many, many years, we've been preaching about this, how the church in America is so lukewarm. It's a candy-coated gospel. And every person that preaches on YouTube's a prophet. I believe God is going to show up because I believe the day of calamity is about to come upon the face of the world, not just America. We are headed into a world war that will bring terror to every soul on this earth. We're headed there. These times are coming. And we don't have to watch the news to say this. Those who are in the prayer closet, who speak to the Lord, they know, they hear what is about to come. And all that can be shaken will be shaken and fall to the ground and rot. Hold on to Jesus. In John 20, verse 21 through 22, again, Jesus says to them, he's died, he's rose from the dead, he's in the upper room with them at this time. And look what he says to them. He says, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now pay attention to this very clearly, please. These were the disciples with the resurrected Savior. He had not ascended to heaven yet. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. They had not received the Holy Spirit just then because what? Because in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. This can be debatable. Some people could say that at this moment, they became confirmed in their belief with the deposit of the Holy Spirit sealing them for the day of salvation. That is debatable. I'm not trying to tell you that's that or that's not that. But what I am trying to say is that this is also prophetic where Jesus says, receive the Spirit. Because in Acts 1:8, in the next chapter, Jesus says, when he comes, you will be filled with power. So you see, there is a coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, see, they were all together. Jesus is now with the Father in heaven. It says, they were all with one in accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I firmly believe, this is my opinion now, but I believe that evidence that you've been baptized in the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a evidence, but it is not the evidence. I believe the evidence of being baptized in the Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because when Jesus says in the Gospels at the end of Mark, Jesus says, you will speak in new tongues. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will get well. You will handle serpents. You will drink deadly poison and it will not harm you. When he says you will speak with new tongues, he was saying that you're going to speak in a new language. Meaning you're going to speak life and no longer curses and death. I believe that the gift of speaking in tongues in unknown languages and heavenly languages exists today. It has its purpose. All gifts of the Holy Spirit still exist in the church, in the world today. But a lot of it has been greatly abused. Now, that I clearly tell you, this is my opinion. That evidence that you've been baptized in the Spirit, the main evidence is the fruit of the Spirit, a renewed life in Christ. But speaking in tongues is a evidence. But so much of the church is hooked on that, aren't they? Have you ever seen people that speak in tongues, but yet they'll treat you like the devil? They have such a cold religious heart. They look down on you if you're not holier than thou. That exists. But at the same time, do not neglect the gift of speaking in tongues. God gives gifts, and they're all in function in their proper order as He determines. Now, in Acts chapter 2, here's another scripture I want to give to you real quickly. And you can go to it, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, I want to read this to you. Peter just finishes one of the greatest sermons, the first sermon of the church, actually. Actually, verse 37 and 38 and 39. Acts 2, 37, 38, and 39. This is about the Holy Spirit. He preaches the first sermon. He's freshly anointed with the Holy Spirit that morning. He preaches, and look, verse 37 says this. Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" See, when the preaching of the true gospel is preached, the people are cut to the heart. The gospel is supposed to pierce the hearts of those who are hearing it. They heard. There were thousands of them. And they heard Peter, who had just previously, weeks before, had denied Jesus as Lord and Savior, had denied the Christ, and now here is a totally different man filled with the Holy Spirit speaking to thousands. You see, that's the difference with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You once were a coward, but now you're empowered for the glory of God. You're empowered to say no to sin now. If you're a struggling Christian in a habitual lifestyle of sin, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to repent of your sins and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to Him, and He's going to fill you. And I'm not talking about drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not talking about drinking water. I'm talking about drinking ever-living water. I'm talking about getting filled spiritually. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God Almighty. If this doesn't get you excited, you need revival, church. Amen. Don't get mad at me. But if we're going to sit in the house of God and we're just going to be like, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. My brother, let me tell you something. I had a pastor friend that encountered a heavenly angel one time, and he gave the angel the Bible. Said, here's the Bible. And he grabbed it. Ah, the word of God. And the man just disappeared. The Bible says that angels long to look into these things. They get excited at the preaching of the gospel. When evidence is given that God is who He says He is. But we're so casual at the preaching of the gospel. They were cut to the heart. And they said something. Peter said in verse 38, and then Peter said to them, repent. See, that's what is missing in the church today. The message, repent. Because we're always getting ourselves in something we do not belong in. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins. Number one. And look, number two. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two things there. Repent. In your repentance, you're baptized into the name of Jesus. And number two, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all. That's us today, who are far away off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Those who are watching online, amen. Amen. It's time to get filled. It's time to be led by the Spirit. Now go with me back to Acts 13, verse 2 through 3. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, church. The Holy Spirit is active in the church today. I know what it's like to be a part of a ministry where you don't pray and seek the Lord. You just make decisions abruptly. And that's heartbreaking. That's sad. When you have millions at your disposal to make decisions with and you don't seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You hurt people like that. You can lose the souls of many like that. Somebody told me one day, hey, this place is worth $1 million. And I'm like, well, I'd rather have 1 million souls. Amen. Could care less about the money. I want souls. The devil's after souls, and God and His people are after souls. And if your ministry, if your Christian walk's not about living souls, you need to get saved. you need to repent of your sins. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not here to tickle nobody's ears. Our Christian walk, our ministries are about saving souls and about allowing us to live in the gospel at all times. All times. Acts 13, verse 2 through 3. Look at how the Holy Spirit begins to speak to this new church. It says here, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. You see, we casually pray when it's convenient. The sorriest service in every church is the prayer service. Everyone will show up when they can on Sunday. Now, if there's some praise and worship or a concert going on, oh yeah, they show up for that too. But what about the prayer service? Oh, well, you know what? This is going on. That's going on. These men gathered together because they needed to send out two great men of God to help build the church. And why do we come together and pray even today in our time, church? Why? Because how do you know that in our assembly here at Grace Christian Center, we're supposed to pray and fast and lay hands on some people to send them out to do a great work for God? If it had to be done in those days, doesn't it still have to be done today? But when you come to church on your own convenience, on your own time, all you're going to get is a dime. It don't amount to a hill of beans, nothing. You know, serving Jesus is about sacrifice. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. Now, you look around in this church. You look around at the church down the street. My brother, a new pastor friend I just met from Calvary Chapel here in Alvin, we became friends now, trying to see how we can collaborate and lean upon each other to help each other to win souls here in this community, because it's not about his territory, my territory. Hey, churches need to come together. Pastors need to come together. Christians need to come together. And if we don't get on board with that, we're going to be thrown off the train, guys. It's not my church, your church, it's his church. And we need to learn how to support each other. We need to learn how to help each other. And these men, they came together and they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to hear the Holy Spirit? Well, are you willing to pray? Do you want to hear the Holy Spirit? Well, are you willing to fast when the Lord says to fast? You know, I'm not here to toot my horn, because the Lord knows that I've been humbled here over the past several years. Greatly by some things that have happened in my life, because I once was a man full of pride. And the Lord has knocked me down quite a bit, and I believe he's still not done with me yet. But let me tell you this, all for the glory of the Lord. We need to begin to start fasting when the Lord says to fast. And I'm talking about, oh, I'm going to fast from Coca-Cola. Oh, I'm going to fast from social media. Those are not fasts. Biblical fasting, water only, and spending more time with the Lord in prayer and in the Word during the fast. Because there's going to be times, church, when you're going to have to be led in the wilderness, as Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know, I went on a fast one day, and I went 20 days without eating food. Water only for 20 days. And when I came out of that fast, I walked right into spiritual pride. And let me tell you something, you got to walk right with the Lord. Because he will deal with you because he loves you. Whenever you feel that pride coming in, you need to cast it off. Save yourself a lot of heartache. Listen to me. If there's any spiritual pride in you today, throw it off. Humble yourself before the Lord. And surrender to him and surrender to his church. Don't look down on those who are weak in their faith. Don't look down on those who are of another church or another ministry. Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your eye on your own walk. These men, they were excited to send two missionaries out to begin to start churches. And they prayed and they fasted because they heard the Spirit telling them to do this. That is what is missing in the churches today. They're not hearing the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14, Paul, who is now an apostle, he says to the church in Corinth, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." It's only by daily interaction with the Holy Spirit that you can know the things of God. No other way. That's the Spirit who brings the Scriptures to life in you. It's the Spirit who allows you to understand what you're reading in the Scriptures. I remember a pastor used to tell me when I was young, "Michael, always pray before you read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. There is no other way." In verse 13, it says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The world cannot understand the things of God." Why? Because they are disconnected. If you will, go back with me to Acts 14, verse 17. Read this scripture with me again, please. And John 14, verse 17. I want to speak to you a moment real quickly about this. The world cannot understand the Spirit of God, and therefore the world will not understand you, Spirit-filled Christian. Look, John 14, 17, it says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." You see this? The world will not understand your walk with the Lord. The world will not understand this. And that's why when you see what's going on in the world, when you look at something like the Super Bowl halftime show, and you look at the Grammys, and either you're going to judge them because of their sinfulness, or you're going to look at these things with sadness and say, "This breaks my heart," because as Jesus was on the cross, he looked at all of them who had pierced him and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You got to have that same attitude when you look at these people dancing in the dark, celebrating Satan, not even realizing it's Satan. You got to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How will they know if someone doesn't bring the gospel to them? The Bible says, "Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the word of God, who bring the gospel." So instead of criticizing these people who are in darkness, have never known the light of God, and some have, and they're God haters, and their day is coming. But for the majority of them, you know, sadly, it's the church that are entertained by the sins of the sinner. So many of the Christians today like to listen to Kanye and like to listen to, I'm not hip, I'm sorry, but these other rappers and singers that, "Oh, I like their songs, it's not that bad." Well, it's bad. We're not judging them, but you know what? Go with me to Jude. This is another scripture the Lord has given to me that we need to hear. In Jude, verse 21. In Jude 21, this is the attitude that we have to have, Spirit-filled Christian, right here. Back up, verse 20. Verse 20, 21, and 22, and 23. It says, But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Look at this. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And here's the instruction. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You heard, love the sinner but hate the sin. That's what you've heard, right? I'm here to tell you, we have to love them because God loves them. And you're not forced to love them, but somebody once loved you to the cross. Somebody once prayed for you to come into the light of Jesus. But at the same time, you cannot condone or compromise this sin. You have to stand up for what is right. And so that means, what does that translate to in our day? When you say abortion is wrong, transgenderism is wrong, homosexual marriage is wrong, sleeping with someone out of marriage between a man and a woman only, it's wrong. Adultery is wrong. Sexual morality is wrong. Fornication is wrong. Child pedophilia, it's wrong. All of this is wrong. Illegal drug use, even pharmaceutical drug abuse. You're getting your drugs legally, but you're abusing it. It's all witchcraft. It's wrong, and it'll kill you. If somebody doesn't stand up and say, hey, this is not of God. God loves you, but this is wrong. You know, is that movie, the Gladiator, when Russell Crowe, he was going, they wanted him to kill that man. But Russell Crowe, he spared his life, and he looks at everybody and says, are you not entertained? Even Hollywood has the sense of mind to understand that they can entertain you. And Christians are looking for that. They're spending all their hard-earned dollars and all their time and effort into things that have no earthly, eternal value whatsoever. The Bible says, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is innocent, whatever is worthy of praise, dwell on such things. Because we are dwellers. Back to this message. The world cannot understand these things. The natural man, look at this. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The world cannot understand the things of God. That's why when they hear you talk about Jesus, when they hear you talk about these things, they're like, what? You're crazy. Come back to reality, man. So understand, Christian, that when you go, are led by the Spirit, you are of another realm. You're of another thing. But at the same time, be of good use to the Lord, to these people who are not there yet. Because we're coming into the most critical point in the history of the church. Romans 8:12-17. Look, Paul says to the church in Rome, he says, therefore, brethren, see, brethren, believers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For you, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does that mean? That means that you know what's right and you know what's wrong, Christian. You keep doing what is wrong, you're going to die. You're going to die prematurely. You're going to have to reap what you sow. But if you live for God, if you do what is right, if you love righteousness, if you love holiness, you'll be blessed. And so will others around you. Because you're like a tree of life. You bless everything that is around you. You give shade to those that need rest because Christ is in you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, says verse 14, these are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you are the son. You are the daughter of the Most High God. And we ought never to take that for granted. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have nothing to fear. God is our Father. He's on his throne. He rules and he reigns. And I'm preaching this, but I believe this with all of my heart. You know, not only me, but you, Christian, the crosshairs of Satan, Satan's crosshairs are on you at all times. He's looking to take you out. And he has a powerful entity, an organization. They do not sleep. They do not slumber like we do. They are awake 24/7. A fallen legion of angels. A legion of fallen angels. They're sworn to Satan. Demonic powers in the heavenly realms. Unseen powers. They know you. They see you. They've seen you from birth. They know you better than you know yourself. But greater is he that is in us, Christian, than he who is in the world. And we do not have a spirit of fear, but we cry out, Father, Father, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Look at this. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Your life on this earth, Christian, you will have suffering because Christ said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. They hated me, they will hate you. So get used to it. Get used to being called and mocked and ridiculed. Get used to it. It's going to get worse here in America. It's going to get bad. As a matter of fact, in our lifetime, if the Lord tarries, in our lifetime, they will outlaw the Holy Bible in this land. Because the enemy even knows the power of the letter. That's why the enemy is going after something that can be torn up. And you know what it is? It's the Constitution of the United States of America. So many Christians and unbelievers have their hopes on the Constitution of the United States. Well, that's our right. That's our Constitution. And let me tell you something about that. That will be taken away, and I promise you, in the twinkle of an eye. The way America began will not be the way it ends. That is reserved only for the church. We were birthed in suffering, and we're going to die in suffering. The church was born in glory, and we're going to end in glory. That is not reserved for the nations, because we are the holy nation of God, a royal priesthood, set apart, called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Amen. So understand that you're not Republican, you're not Democrat. Those are just other religions. They want to keep you on the debate of social justice and immigration and taxes and all these things, which have nothing really to do with salvation of souls. And people get mad. Well, Michael, you got to vote. Yes, you have to vote. But what happened to the Spirit of God? Well, if we are led by the Spirit of God, then God has all of this under control. Our first thing is about preaching the gospel and winning the lost. That's what the disciples in Acts chapter 1, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not appointed for you to know these things, but you, when you receive the power, you will be my witnesses. Hey, we've got the power. Let's be his witnesses. Amen? Yeah, I love America. I thank God I'm an American. We have many veterans here. My father's a veteran. I thank God. I would not want to live anywhere else. But you know what? My hope is not being an American citizen. My hope is being a child of God. Amen. Amen. And I pray for our president, whether it's Trump, Obama, or Biden, or whoever, or Mickey Mouse, whatever, it doesn't matter. God's on his throne, and God is the one who rules and reigns. God is the one who sets him up, and God is the one who takes him down. Amen. Amen. So get used to suffering, church. Especially the church in America. Just this morning, I was reading an article. The church in China is being crucified tremendously. They're under the zero policy, COVID policy in China. It's brought tremendous harm upon the church. And Valeria, upstairs, Valeria, she spent some time in China. She taught English for about a year up there, I believe. And she has friends up there. I don't know if she talks to them anymore because when COVID hit, they cut off all social media to the world. And she was not able to talk to them for a while. And in China, it's bad. The churches there cannot even fellowship anymore. And let's not even talk about what has been happening in North Korea and what's been happening in India. Pastor Prabhakar in India, I talk to him all the time. He's telling me, brother, it's getting bad here. It's getting bad. It's getting bad. Pastor Prabhakar might be even watching right now. They're like 12 hours ahead of us. And he tells me, brother, he goes, we are praying 3 times a day, every single day in the church. And it's hard because hardly anybody is showing up. We need revival too. Don't forget us. He sees what's happening here in America. Revival's happening. But he's surrounded by Muslim terrorists. He's surrounded by Hindu Buddha haters. While all the while, us in America, Christians in America, well, you know, we got our jobs to do. We'll do our little job. We'll do our little Sunday church thing. And you're not worthy to carry the cross. We're not worthy. Because Jesus said it. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. That means if you have a calling and you have anointing and you're not acting on it, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not. Take it up with Jesus. He said it, not me. I'm not going to tickle your ears because I have made it plainly clear. I'm not going to have blood on my hands at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you have a calling, if you have an anointing, you better get with it, because Christ paid a high price for you to glorify him. No excuses. No excuses. Either you get with him or you get out of the way. Because that is what he said to Esther. Mordecai told Esther, if you don't go before the king and save your people, God will get somebody else to do it. That's the God of heaven and earth. Oh, but our God's a God of love. Yeah, but he is also a God of wrath and judgment, and he disciplines those he loves. If you keep playing with sin, Christian, you keep living in a habitual lifestyle of sin, you too shall reap the hellfire, the lake of fire. There will be many, many multitudes, said Jesus, that will find the road to hell. It's wide. Many shall find it. And heaven is narrow, and only a few shall find it. That's what Jesus said. You need to make your mind up about Jesus, because Jesus has already made up his mind about you. And this is what, this right here, this is what Holy Spirit preaching is right here. It's not me, it's him. Look to him, not to me. Because how do you know I haven't been entertained by a demon earlier in the week? Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord's going to split the pulpits in America. And those who don't belong, they're out. Because God cherishes his pulpit. To whom much is given, much is required. Revelation 2:29 says this, as I come to a close, quickly. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You have the ability, Christian, to hear the Holy Spirit today. You don't need to go to the YouTube prophets. You don't need to go to the Facebook evangelist. You, Christian, you hear him for yourself. Your marching orders come from him. Get with it. Get with it. Revelation 4, 1 through 2. John, the old man John, the apostle, old man by now, he is about to see the greatest vision and write down the book of Revelation, the prophecies that are to come. He says here in verse 1, he says, after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He was in heaven. He defied everything. He was in the spirit, seeing the throne of God. God can do anything because God is God. Amen. And if God wants to give you a glimpse of something to come, he can do it. But we're so busy with this. We begin with this, and we don't begin on our knees in the morning saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I cannot go another inch without you, Lord. Don't you know that the Lord delivered you? That you were supposed to die in your sleep, some of you? But the Lord delivered you. He saved you. Amen. We should have gratitude, a thankful heart that he delivers us time and time again. And we were so ignorant of it. We didn't even know. He's willing to give you vision. He's willing to give you dreams. In my last scripture, Revelation 22, 14 through 17, look, this is the end of the Bible. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter through the gates into the city. This is the heart's desire of every spirit-filled preacher around the world. This is the ultimate goal right here. That we are restored back to what Adam and Eve once had. God said, I'm going to bring it back to where it was in the beginning, where there is no sin, no pain, no death. You cannot understand a world like that, can you? But God is bringing humanity back to that. But to those who love him, who do his commandments. And that's what Jesus said in John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Why? Because his commandments bring life. Look at verse 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Is your life a lie? You may not be a murderer. You may not be an idolater. You may not be a dog or a sorcerer. But do you lie? Are you living a lie before Jesus? Do you say you love Jesus, but you really just honor him with your lips, but your hearts are far from him, then your place is outside of life. It says here, look, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. You see, this speaks, truth speaks in the church first. Today, there's a great move of, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No. But Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forsake the gathering as some are in the habit of doing, but let us gather together as we see the day of the Lord coming. You know why I come to church? Well, you're the preacher, Michael. No. I could very easily walk away from this. Hey, I did. I walked away from the ministry for 15 years. I knew God would call me to be a preacher, and I walked away from it for 15 years. And ever since I came back, I remember the first 3 years back, I wanted to quit every week. I can't do this, Lord. I can't. I wasn't even a preacher then. I was just sitting in the pews, serving as a door greeter, serving as an assistant to the pastors, just setting up tables, vacuuming carpets, doing whatever I needed to do in the church for 3.5 years. And I wanted to quit. Every single week, I told my wife, I'm quitting. I can't do this. But there's a blessing. Why do I come to church? Why? Not because I'm the preacher. I come to church because God has a purpose for me to be here. Amen. And Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am. He didn't say one, he said two. A church begins with two or three. Jesus says, there I am. Hey, you know what? I want to be where Jesus is. Amen? And the way I preach, whether it's 20, 30 here, or 30,000, it's the same, because it's all his power. And so why are we here? Why are you here? Just as up, went to church on Sunday, check that off. All right, now what else we got to do? Let's go bingo night on Tuesday. Go buy lottery tickets on Thursday. Do a little drink on Tuesday evening with the girls or the fellas. Mm-mm. In the twinkle of an eye, the temporary situation that you've been living in, it's preparing you for where you will be for eternity. What you have done in the temporary will determine your eternity. What did you do with Jesus? Look at what he says here. Again, let's read this from verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride is the church, they both say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This is our attitude. This is the attitude of the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church. Come. Come to the gatherings. Come to church. Come and see what God is doing. Come to church. Come. Amen. Y'all saw that movie, Jesus Revolution, here recently? And one of the evangelists, that's all he would do. He, in those early days, he would get up before the people and said, come. And they would come by the thousands. And today, so many of those people are in their 60s and 70s now, and they're still serving the Lord. They're walking with God. Many of them are pastors and leaders in churches, because when they came, they meant it. So when you come. Don't look back. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back, because you're not fit for the kingdom. When you said you were going to follow Jesus, it's to the end. Amen? It's to the very end. And the end then will even just be the beginning. Hallelujah. Give God praise in this house. Amen? Give him praise in this house.